Turn again, please, to Exodus. This time, Exodus and chapter number 18. Exodus chapter 17, sorry. Exodus 17, and I'm reading in 18 too. I know you're getting hungry, so we do our best not to keep you too long. Exodus chapter 17. Verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of a hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of a hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Chapter 18. And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses, for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name, the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. The name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father said he was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And we have the reunion of Moses with his wife. Family, look down to verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And look down to verse 17. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people, and that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it. Thyself alone, hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. And be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and I shall teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Now look down a little bit, verse 22, 21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them, such over them, to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. Now, chapter 19, verse 3, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, tell the children of Israel that ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you in eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now look just over to Numbers for a verse for a link. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Context of this is a mixed multitude are complaining to Moses, and God is displeased. Just look to verse 14 for the sake of time. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And we know that God will bless his word. We've read quite a lot, but really it's a very simple thought that I want to pass on just in closing with regard to Moses. We thought in the first session of alignment of the will. Well, if you wanted a title for this It would be really Moses and his baggage allowance. You'll have noticed the three references to the word heavy in the life of Moses. Three references to heavy. And really what I want to do is to pass on just a word of encouragement just for those who are here today. It's heavy going. It's heavy going. And I was talking to somebody just at the interval, and they brought this passage before me. I thanked them. I thought it was confirmation. And you know, it was just obvious speaking to them that things were heavy going. Heavy going. Heavy, Moses says, that day on the hill when I faced the foe. My hands were heavy. Heavy hands. Heavy, he said that day when Jethro came and the people were queued from morning to evening. I took his advice. My wife and family were there. The weight of the family, the weight of the foe. And then in Numbers chapter 11, he says, I'll never forget that day, the weight of friction. People were complaining. Moses was at breaking point. Maybe someone here, you're just at breaking point. Things are heavy. How do we cope with the weight and the stress and the distress and the depression? Well, very simply, I want you to notice Moses now, they had left Egypt. The flight plan wasn't the shortest route, but it was the safest. You'll not get that in your GPS. It'll take you the shortest route, sometimes round the houses. But it'll never take you the safest route. But you know, God always takes his people the safest route. That's a wonderful comfort, isn't it? He didn't promise them it would be easy. Jethro promised that. But God says, I'll take you. But he says, I'll go before you. Remember, he's taken them out. Moses is going to lead them. But God is going to guide them. There's a difference in leading people and guiding. God is doing the guiding. And they've hit a problem just before, had we taken time to read it, it was the problem of water. And God answers it. Moses strikes the rock. What is that speaking of? It speaks of the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Water flowing in Scripture is the Holy Spirit. Water that's still, that's used for washing, that's the word of God. Water that's troubled, that's God's judgment. But the water gushing from the rock, that's the Holy Spirit. And each one of us, we were saved. The moment we were saved, we received the Holy Spirit. We received the divine nature. We see tonight, that's the new man. Nothing changed. No, it was the fact that we are imparted with a new nature. But the moment that we have the Holy Spirit, we enter into a conflict. Because the flesh is still there. Then came Amalek. See the picture? The water, spirit. Now it's the war. It's the foe. It's Amalek. The perpetual enemy of Israel. Never defeated, but discomfited, we see at the end. How is he going to deal with it? Number one. He recognizes the strength of this enemy that he can't defeat it in his own strength. Now remember, what we're seeing in the life of Moses is this. When he was called, he recognized that he couldn't do the job with natural ability. No eloquence. Not able. Now he's going to learn this, that he can't face the enemy with his natural strength. He needs support. Needs help. So do you, young people. The flesh, we are often taught, has neither been removed nor improved. You know, there's one thing I'm looking forward to about getting to heaven is to be rid of the flesh. It raises its head too often. Far too often for my liking. And we're none of us any match for it. We need help. Who's he going to have help? Sister Joshua, choose out men. He says, and you're going to be down there, and you're with the sword. Why, we need the sword. I don't have time to touch it today. But we need young men that are able with the edge of the sword. That's the word of God. We need to deal with the flesh that lusteth against the spirit. We need the word of God. We've heard that just before. We need the word of God. But we also need help on the high. And Moses, you're going to be up there with a rod. But he's not there alone. I love this. Notice who's with him. Aaron and Hur. And Moses, when he lifts his arm, we notice that they start to make progress with the enemy. They're moving forward. And when his arms drop, then they go back. And Aaron and Ur, they recognize this. And they come along and they give Moses a seat. Sit down on the stone, Moses. Aren't you glad today, brethren and sisters, for a man who sat down? That's where our help comes from. And they hold his hands up, and they're steady until the going down of the sun. What a beautiful picture. It's not going to be defeated easily, the flesh. It's going to take constant attention, and you're going to need support. Let us not miss the very basic lesson on the surface here, and that is, I hope we are amongst those who offer brother and sister support. You know, not all of us can be a Moses. None of us really ever probably will be. But you know, one thing we can do is support one another. And support in the gospel. You know, if you hear that someone's having gospel meetings, just go along and support. That'll really encourage them. We can support those who are laid aside, who are sick, who are going through difficulty. Just maybe a little text, a little visit. We can support the young as they go off to college, to the workplace. We can support those who have come to our area. There's just so many ways. A great job for the believer is just to just engage and support one. But you know, the typical significance is wonderful, isn't it? It's been looked at in many ways, but I just see it in this way. I just see Christ on high, our great high priest. We see Moses, he's the prophet. We see Aaron, he's the priest. And where was Aaron? He was from the tribe of Judah, the kingly tribe. What is Christ? Christ is God's anointed, the one who holds all three offices, prophet, priest, and king. But above today, we have a great high priest. And you know, we can't deal with the flesh without him. Crucified with Christ. Buried with him in baptism, we've heard, risen to walk in newness of life. But where, not only is he risen, but remember this, his brother Stephen has told us, he's ascended. So at God's right hand, he sat down, and Ephesians brings before us the great truth that we're seated with him in the heavenlies. And so Paul says in Colossians, he says, if ye are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Listen, brethren and sisters, when the going's heavy with the flesh and the enemy, remember we have help on high. I told you in the first session to look out for first mentions. We have a first mention here in this chapter, which is rather beautiful, I think, anyhow. And what is it? It says that Moses' hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now you look up that word steady in your concordance and you'll find this. It's the first occurrence of the word faithfulness in your Bible. It's the exact same word that's used in Lamentations 3. And what do we read there? It's of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed. Back at the bush. Thy compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Now here's the word. Great is thy faithfulness. What sort of a high priest have we got? A merciful and faithful high priest. And you want to get a picture of how he works for us, brethren and sisters, it's just this. His hands are steady from morning to evening. When your hands drop, and they do, and my hands drop, and we're almost ready to give up, he's there, never fails. Faithfulness, a merciful and a faithful high priest, the heaviness and the weight of the foe. And so it is that they're able to make progress. And it is that they write it in a book. And that just comes interestingly after sword. you can look that up. So the weight of the foe. That's in chapter number 18, 17. Now, chapter 18, the weight of the family. Now, this is a very interesting character, Jethro. I don't have time to go into the detail, but he brings Moses' wife and children back. I take it that Moses sent them back to Jethro to protect them, but they're not to be forgotten about. In the midst of Moses' call and his spiritual exercise, God reminds him he's a wife and children. You see, we must always remember spiritual exercise and busyness doesn't negate our family responsibilities. Dear brother, it's not just a matter of staying all night in the study when you've a wife and children that needs help and that are looking to you as the head of the home. And so Jethro was perfectly right in bringing Moses' wife and two boys, and that's an interesting study as to what happened to those sons of Moses. But and so family can be very useful, and Moses was grateful. But then Jethro looks at what happened to Moses as the people are queuing from morning to evening. Here's another morning to evening reference. And he says to Moses, listen, Moses, you can't do this alone. He says, you need help. He says, you need to choose out men. And he says, you need to instruct them. And you handle the big matters and they handle the small matters. Now listen to the word that Jethro used. He says, Moses, if you do this, it'll be easier. Always beware of that word, easier. God never promised to Moses that it would be easier. But what God did promise to Moses is that I will be with you. And it wasn't God's intention that Moses would bear the people. Jethro says, Moses, they shall bear the burden with thee. But what was it that Jethro didn't see? See, I just point out this, brethren and sisters, be very careful about taking just advice from family without first being sure it's God's will. You see, Moses had a wife who was a Midianite, didn't he? He had a father-in-law who had kept his wife and children. He owed a lot to them. And I have no doubt Jethro had some appreciation of the God of Jehovah. But at the end of the chapter, he went his own way, didn't he? Went his own way. Good advice. Put in a tier, Moses, of middle management. It'll work. It'll be easier. But if it was the case that this tier of middle management would work, why do we find Moses in Numbers in chapter 11? Wanting God to take his life. Where were they then? And what is it? I want to get this. What was it that what Jethro had missed? Jethro didn't come by the way of the Red Sea. He didn't come by blood. He didn't see the help that was on high when Moses faced the enemy. Jethro just saw the weight. But he didn't see the wings. So in the very next chapter, God says, Moses, I have a message for you to give the people. Well, he took Jethro's advice. He was very courteous. He says, I want you to tell the people, Moses, what I have done to the Egyptians and how I bear you. There's the word. What Moses is bearing. He says, I bear you in eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. What a beautiful picture. Hey. Moses with all his baggage. We all have it, brother and sister. We carry bags of worry, bags of stress, bags of difficulty. But he not only was in front of them as a pillar of cloud and fire, he not only went behind them when they faced the Egyptians coming behind them, he not only was above them and rained down manna from heaven, but Moses had forgotten that he was also underneath. You know, when I was flying here the first time, I'll never forget it. I was about to board, and you know the way you stand at departures looking at the window, and there was a big Airbus 380, a great lump of a plane, and I was looking at it out the window. And I thought to myself, as you do, I really wasn't very good at physics at school, so you'll understand, but I thought to myself, how does that get off the ground? And there was a man standing next to me, and I said to him, just making conversation to be friendly, I says, don't you wonder how it gets off the ground? Oh, he says, I know, he says, I'm an aeronautical engineer. Well, I'd asked the wrong person, and I got a lecture on how that got off the ground. I still don't understand, but basically what he told me was, he says, with the engines and the wingspan and the laws of science, he says, when that gets to a certain speed, it can do nothing else but get up. And he says, it could take twice its weight. Twice its weight. And there was me standing with my little rucksack and my little bags wondering how it would get me off the ground. You know, that's just like us, isn't it, brothers and sisters with God? We stand with our baggage, and mind you, for some today, I know it's heavy. We don't want to be little things. It's heavy, but he is able, he is underneath. And just like that eagle that nudges its own out of the nest, what does it do? It flies down and it flies underneath them, just in case they drop. That's the picture. And so he flies underneath. They call it the eagle. Isn't that a wonderful bird? You know, I was just thinking to myself, it took the Wright brothers, I don't know how many years, to get a few scraps of wood off the ground. You know, God did it with one word. He created the eagle. It can soar for miles without a flap of its wings, no engines attached or anything, and it can die, and it snatches its prey. That's why they call it the raptor. Raptor. You know, that's just the word that's used in 1 Thessalonians 4, isn't it? The Latin word for rat is rapture. That's what we call the Lord's return. It's the rapture. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the word, snatched, rapture. Caught up together to meet the Lord. He's going to bring us unto himself, just as he would with the nation. And he will in a future day bring them, brethren and sisters, a future for them. But you see, Jethro didn't see it. He didn't understand the eagle's wings. And therefore, though Moses selected the men, when we come to Numbers in chapter 11, we find a man at breaking point. Now, where are these men that he chose out then to help him? The people are complaining. The manna has been corrupted. They want the onions, the leeks, and the garlics. We want just to go back to Egypt. Moses says to God, he says, have I conceived this people? He says, why have you put such a weight upon me? He says, Lord, it's too heavy. But he says, Lord, just take my life. You ever been there? But really, you think it would be far better if the Lord came. It's too heavy. This man is an absolute breaking point. Don't know what to do. Do you know what happened? Just as he is at absolute breaking point, you see the eagle coming in underneath. He says, Moses, I'll come down and speak with you. He says, I'll give you men. And he says, I'll put my spirit upon them. He says, I'm not going to leave you alone. You know, when it gets heavy, you might be on your own, but you're never alone. Never. He's underneath. And just at the time that you're ready to break, he knows. And he comes down underneath so that you don't fall. The weight of the friction, the weight of family, the weight of the foe. Brothers and sisters, I'm glad that the one in heaven, he knows something about heaviness, doesn't he? He was in the garden one day. And he says, oh, he was heavy. What was he heavy with? You know what he was heavy with? He was heavy with the thought of bearing your sins and mine. And the same gospel writer says this. When he came back to the disciples, he says, their eyes were heavy. Same word used. Heavy with sleep. What does the writer say? He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's Amalek, isn't it? Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We all know what it's like, don't we? Could you not watch with me here for 1 hour? You know, there was no heaviness like his. Just think today, the one who carries the very weight of our sin upon his shoulders on Calvary's cross, he's the same one who can carry us today, whatever the weight is. With the Lord, there's no baggage restrictions, there's no baggage allowance. You can bring all the bags you have, the weight, the worries, everything you have. He's able to bear it all. May we be encouraged, brethren and sisters, when we face the foe, Amalek, and it's heavy, we need support, we need help. The weight of the family, the heavy matters, big and small. He's the eagle. His wings are underneath. He's able to bear us up. And when we get to breaking point, and it's friction amongst the people, no greater stress for the believer than friction. He says, Moses, don't worry. He says, you're not alone. He says, I will come down, and you will not bear it alone. May God help us just to be encouraged with Moses, even in the midst of the weight of service. There was nothing that was too heavy for God.